Good morning. Great to be together in person and some faces who I haven't seen in person for 14 months, which is always so exciting. So every Sunday, there's like a couple of more people who have, you know, haven't been together yet in person. So it's happening. It is happening, folks. And just absolutely terrific. Lifts my heart. And our scripture passage that has to do with this, really. It's in your bulletins. It's in the insert. And we're going to be reading this together in a few minutes, but I'm going to talk about this for a little bit first for some context. There are very familiar words that paints a picture and gives us some wonderful imagery from the Apostle Paul, and he talks about how we're all connected and we're all part of one greater body. And I've said at different times, while the words, they sound like they're really nice words. They're poetic and they're spiritual, as if they paint a picture of kind of a panacea of, wouldn't it be great if life were like this? And, you know, it's nice spiritual sentiment and virtue. But the thing that I love about these words is how, and some of you may have heard me share this before, but how in 1997, and for all time thereafter, the truth of these words and this imagery of how we're all connected became scientifically proven in a mind-blowing and earth-shattering way. And what do I mean? In 1997, there was an experiment that I've referred to many times called the twin photon experiment. It took place in the Hadron Collider. And I'm not going to go into the experiment in detail, and this experiment has been repeated, as scientific experiments are, you know, many times with the exact same results each time. So I'm not going into the details of this, but I will say, just Google 1997 twin photon experiment and read the articles that talk in different ways about what happened. And here's the bottom line, and this is the connection between that experiment and the scripture passage and our life of faith and community and who we actually are as human beings. And what it proved was, before 1997, was considered absolutely impossible, and not only that, but even laughable within the scientific community, which was that electrons and photons, which are the basic building blocks of life and all matter, including what we're made up of as human beings when you break us down into our smallest parts, that electrons and photons, us, are in direct relationship with one another. That's us here, along with people all over the world. We are in direct connection and relationship with each other, and we're in relationship, not just kind of sentimentally, but in fact, physiologically, instantaneously, through some kind of non-material means or dimension or realm, and that connection and communication is direct and transmit and links complex information regardless of distance with absolutely no physical connection at all. And that link and connection and communication occurs through this non-material, non-physical means. And just very simply, the thing that I love, the profound thing, is this is exactly and precisely what we soft-minded people in religious circles have been saying for thousands of years, that we are spiritually, we call it spiritually, science calls it non-materially, something that happens through a non-material realm. What do you call that? You can call it non-local, non-material, that we're all connected. And when they prove that, it left and it still leaves scientists absolutely stunned, because it's impossible. It was impossible and it still is impossible through classical physics. But it happens every time they try this experiment, every single time. And so the result is, the conclusion is, we don't understand it, but we got to accept the reality. It's what Einstein called spooky action at a distance, and he dismissed it. You may have heard that in relationship with it, you know, it's EPR, but we're connected by our spirit, not just sentimentally or theoretically. It's not something that's just, you know, thing that religious people might believe in, you know. But we and our universe is directly connected and communicating through a non-material force that we call spirit. And this, by the way, among so many other things, there are so many vast implications to this. But among other things, it also shines a light on prayer. What's going on in prayer? When I pray for you, you pray for me, we are putting out energy of a certain outcome. And that, as we know, can and does change physical outcomes at a distance. So just Google that, the 1995 twin photon experiment, read the articles, where we can now say, yep, science may use different terms to express what is going on, but what this passage says is exactly true. So, with that, let's read our passage together. And we're going to just read it and share it out loud. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, and all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as God wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. May God bless our hearing, our understanding, our embodiment of this word of truth and abundant life. Amen. The longer I am involved in ministry, the longer I am involved in life, the longer I'm involved with you, with our church, the more I appreciate these words and the truth of the statement that says, it takes a village. That it does. Absolutely, wonderfully so. It takes a village. It takes a community. And along these same lines, there's a related truth that says there's no such thing as a self-made man or self-made woman. Literally, from the moment of our conception, a person cannot be and is not self-made. But we are wonderfully and we are entirely dependent upon and connected with. We're dependent upon the help and even on the substance of one another. And that's just to conceive us in the first place, where we are gifted by others. That wonderful dependency upon our connectedness continues throughout our lives. We are not self-made when we are in the womb. And as a newborn, as a toddler, just try to be self-made and completely independent and see how long you make it. It's equally true when we're an adolescent, when we're a teen, when we are an adult. And as far as that goes, one of the things that I find so ironic and it's laughable, really, is that the older we get, it seems the more we actually come to believe that we really are independent. And we buy into this myth, this fallacy, that we actually can be independent. And that we're supposed to be independent. Or that being independent, instead of being a part of a greater body, is somehow a good virtue, even if it were possible. We see aging people clinging on to the illusion of independence, many times to their own detriment, when there's actually no such thing as that in the first place. People say, I don't want to be dependent on the help of others. As we are living in homes that other people built. As we're wearing clothes that other people made. As we're eating food that other people grew. I'm independent. You know, even if we go to the store and we buy food ourselves and cook our food, all by myself. I'm the one doing this. You're not. And we're forgetting to our own spiritual detriment this wonderful and gigantic and intricate and just beautiful and very so sacred, divinely exquisite network of humanity that it took for you to be able to buy a vegetable and take it home, driving the car that somebody else made, a whole team of people, cooking in pans that other people forged, with a recipe that someone either taught to you or you got from some other place, your food that was sacredly planted and harvested and packed and shipped through this whole chain of people on whom we wonderfully depend. And it's such a beautiful thing, it's such a great thing, it's such a soul-enlivening thing to be in touch with reality, isn't it? instead of in delusion. And, you know, maybe as you're sitting at your table, as we sometimes do, to have a prayer of thanks for all of those along the way, and to name and to consider who planted and who harvested and every single step, all those people who are helping us to survive, the people who unloaded the trucks, the people who stacked the shelves, the people who change the light bulbs and sweep the floors, all a part of the greater sacred body of which we are a part. And even when we're not physically connected, as science reminds us, even when we can't see the other parts of our greater body, I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, shoot, we can't even see parts of our own body. How many of you have seen your liver or your heart or your brain? All these things on which we are entirely dependent. And the interesting thing is, you know, the only difference between you and someone who doesn't recognize and doesn't consider these connections is that the more we consider, the more we are in touch with reality, for one thing. And so we become more and more sacredly connected. And by not doing so, you don't get to feel the gratitude, right? As you're driving along, or as you're chomping away, or as you're putting on your clothes, or any of it. Just being mindful and being in awe of this massive web that we are a part of. And to feel how in reality we are a meaningful part of the greater whole, instead of pushing away our dependence, to instead be pulling it towards us and embracing this exquisite, sacred, spiritual, and even scientific dependence on all of it. And when we get that and we become truly in touch with that reality, it changes us. It changes the way we think. It changes our soul. It changes our heart. And when we really, really get it, it changes who we think we are and who we think other people are and how we treat and how we respect and how we appreciate and have tremendous joy for every part and the beautiful and different parts that each one of us plays and how it all so exquisitely fits together and is intended to work together. If the whole body were an eye, if everyone was just like us, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? How did they come up with this 2,000 years ago? When they're walking around with sticks and donkeys, right? But in fact, it says God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as God wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God put the body together so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Not spiritual platitudes. This is our basic reality. Now you are the body of Christ. That's spiritual language. And each one of you is a part of it. So this morning, very simple and very life-changing, I think, where I welcome you to incorporate this into your spiritual practice. And as a part of your prayer life, just as we're doing right now and this morning, considering the myriad of ways that our lives are intricately woven together. And Laura's naming some of the parts this morning in her prayer, and the rivers and the trees that produce oxygen, and the rainforests, and our economy and the education system. All of it. Woven together more deeply than we realize. And when you realize that, you will never, never feel isolated or alone again, because you're not. The more grateful we become, the more loving, the less egocentric, and the more humble and in touch with reality and closer to God. Grateful interdependence on God and each other and community. Along these lines, directly along these lines, we celebrate and we recognize and we give thanks for one of our indispensable parts of our body, our church. One of the members of our body who helps make everything run smoothly and cleanly, well, happily, very happily, with actual singing. An indispensable and beloved part of our body, Sydney Sinclair. A person who literally sets the table for our day when we come together. Sunday mornings, during the week, locks and unlocks. Christ says, I go before you to prepare a place for you. Sydney says the same thing. And he's been preparing a place for us, lights on, tables, chairs, ready to go. One of the things that we love best, however, about being connected with Sydney is who he is as a human being. And with that, because we gotta spread the love around. Here's Laura.
For sure. So much love to spread, because Sydney has so much love to give. So Sydney has been here 12 plus years, right? And in that time, as Paul mentioned, he has entertained us and moved us with his singing. If you haven't heard him sing, well, we might just make him do it up here a little bit later. It's a thing of beauty. It's as meaningful and awesome as his card tricks. If you haven't seen him do card tricks, he is a master at card tricks. He has helped me build my desks. He has moved countless pieces of furniture for the carousel. He is here on Christmas Eve making sure all of our candles are lit. He's here every Sunday. When I say every Sunday, he does take a month off on vacation for the past 12 years. No other time did the gentleman ever call in sick. Every week he was here. His impact is felt throughout the building from our main office to the carousel, and even to the preschool, where all the kids call him Mr. Sydney. They jump up and down when they see him. They give him cards for specific reasons and for no reasons, except that they love him, and they love to shower him with gifts. Over the 12 years, I have watched so many of our youth meander after they're done church school into the kitchen to just stay and hang and talk with Sydney. And we have been through a lot together with Sydney, from the birth of his grandson to the untimely and tragic death of his daughter, to the receipt of his visa, to the receipt of his green card, to his citizenship. We've not only shared a place of employment with Sydney, but, I'm gonna cry. Because we have shared our lives with one another. And Sydney, we are so grateful for all the wonderful times we have spent together. And since we have had this time to talk, Sydney has a message for us. It's a video message that we have put together that hopefully is going to come on without any trouble here in just a moment. It is just, it's pure Sydney. It is everything that you would expect. And there's one line that's gonna pop up here in this video that I'll talk about a little bit after that is just the most perfect response to a question that I think can ever be given. Best line ever. We love you, Sydney. I know. I know. And isn't that really the response that we all should say when someone that we know loves us says, I love you? If we've done our job right, they should say, I know. So Sydney, come on up so we can finish off our job here and do it right in our celebration of you. If you would come forward. We just have a couple of things to share with you.
Here we are.
All right.
Oh, good.
You all right,
Sid? O'Neill.
All right. First, we'll give you a hug. Give you just a moment. And
sorry. Let me try it out. Sydney, I love you.
I love you too.
So, Sid, here, come stand over here so everyone can see you. Those are our home. So, our first gift to you is kind of just a fun little gift because we know you love hats. And often you get your fabulous, well, first let's just say how dapper Sydney dresses. The most dapper sexton ever. And he loves the carousel and often finds really awesome hats, but we're gonna give you a brand new hat. It is a Southport hat for you to wear so that you can proudly remember all of your time here. So that's just our little fun one.
And we have a little card from Laura and I. We've got a card from the staff. And then we have something else for you here that it took a village, it took a community for this. And I'm gonna ask you if you could open this up. And, we were thinking about flowers, but you can't wear flowers. So, but you can wear a hat, and Sydney loves a hat.
This is all too in here.
Reach in and grab that too. There's a little gift from the members of the church. If that's okay. So may you enjoy thoroughly and have the blessings continue with us, with you from the church. And there's also a little something else from the church for you to be able to take with you and have something of the church there for you inside of your home.
Can I get it? I got it out for you. You can switch. There you go.
There we go.
You can open those later. I'll hold this. So many things for you, Sydney. It's like Christmas, isn't it? We're overwhelming you, I can tell. Your energy has slowed to almost nothing here.
Something is sent by man.
You are something else.
We love you.
Love you too. As do they. Come on in, Paul. they're happy. Nice. Sydney says he's happy. And one of the things that he said in the video that I hope you could hear, but if you couldn't, was that you may be retiring, but you're not going away. You're not leaving us. Don't fall backwards off the sink.
I didn't know that I had so much speech.
Yes, so much speech, so much to say up there. That was Allie. Yes, that was Allie doing that. So Sydney's going to return and visit us, and we'll sit in the pew and hang with us and just have a...
It may not be every week, but what if I'm in America?
If you're in America, you'll be around.
Right.
I love that.
I will.
All right, God bless you, Sydney.
I promise.
And now Tim has... careful of these stairs. I don't want you to fall back right off these stairs.
Well, I don't know how I could top that, but I just want to thank Paul and Laura for asking me to speak this morning. It's truly an honor. It's nice to see so many people here today for this great tribute to Sydney. On behalf of the Buildings and Grounds Committee, I'm sure the entire congregation, thank you, Sydney, for all you have done for Southport Congregational Church. We wish you well wherever your next chapter in life may lead you. In my role as Building and Grounds Chairman, I've seen firsthand what Sydney means to this church. His work is mostly behind the scenes, but it is critical to so many elements of the church that it cannot be understated. I am most impressed by his loyalty to the church and his outstanding work ethic. He has been dependable and reliable while demonstrating it with a terrific attitude. Always the first person on site each day, Sydney has endeared himself to the church community, including the preschool, the teachers, the carousel volunteers, the staff, and certainly the entire congregation. More important for me, Sydney has become a friend as he has mentored me to follow him in this important position. So thank you, Sydney, for all you have done for this church and taking me under your wings these past few months. You have been a joy to be around, and you will certainly be missed. Thank you.
Love to you, my brother.
And the great thing is that the celebration is going to continue in our courtyard after our worship service here, where there's a wonderful cake and just come in and see and wish him well.
Dear God, we gather in your presence on this beautiful day. Your creation is both mighty and delicate, light and dark, warm and chilly, stark and colorful. And for everything, there is a season and a time for everything under heaven. And God, as our world is suffering from the pandemic, we thank you for this warmth and added light and the simple beauty of this day. We thank you for the grandeur of this life that you've given with your earth that feeds us and sustains us with its delicate balances, its systems of oxygen-producing forests and self-cleaning rivers and oceans. And we ask you to help us to act as good stewards of this planet. Because, God, the truth is we are slowly destroying parts of this world, and although your magnificent design may be able to autocorrect some of it, other parts are just simply never going to recover. The extinction of the white rhino, the decimation by fire last year of the great sequoia trees, the rising temperatures and the resulting melting polar caps. And we often reach out to you, God, when it's just too late. We forget to ask for your guidance and help, relying too much on ourselves and our own abilities. Until we find that things are out of control and an accident or catastrophe happens. And then we come running back to you, pleading for immediate relief and asking, why did you let this happen? But the question really is, why did each of us allow this to happen? So help us to reach out to you when we're feeling overwhelmed and to feel that peace that you will bring to us. Help us to reach out to you when we are feeling sad or depressed. and to feel the comfort you will fill us with. Help us to reach out to you when we are angry or disenchanted, to feel the control and the foresight that you will provide for us. And so for the multitude of ways that you interact in our lives, God, we give you thanks. And for the multitude of people that you bring for us to interact in our own lives with, we give you thanks. And today we offer you a special prayer of thanks for the ministry of Sydney Sinclair to this church. We take this time, God, to thank you for his bright smile, his positive attitude, his willingness to help any time and in any way, his impact on this church facility as well as its people and its children has been a gift. And we thank you, God, for him, and we ask you to be with him in his well-earned retirement. And may we celebrate all the gifts our lives bring to us. May we respect one another as well as ourselves. May we find joy and beauty in the colors of the rainbow, recognizing that you are the creator of each person and that each one of us carries a part of you within us. And may we all have greater respect for your gift of this earth and all it encompasses, and for the tremendous power and responsibility that you have put into our hands and under our control. All this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.